Welcome to Sermons by Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us. We hope this week's sermon gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our new podcast, Crossroads, where we discuss a wide range of topics pertaining to the intersection of sacred and civic. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
As you no doubt heard, our gospel reading today was from the Gospel according to St. Luke. This was Luke's first book, and it did so well that his publisher suggested that he write a sequel, and he entitled it The Acts of the Apostles. And it was the story of what happened next after Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And it begins with two stories, which it turns out shapes the whole rest of the book of Acts. First, there's the story of Pentecost, which we will celebrate at the end of the Easter season, but this was the first thing that happened, and it signified the coming of the Holy Spirit in such a powerful and dramatic way that over 3,000 people joined that very small community. Not yet called Christians, they would soon be called the people of the way. And the second story that he tells in this entire sequel is about the man lame from birth. And I think it's iconic and symbolic of what happens when you believe in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. It's the consequence of believing. But before we get into that story, let's just talk about the word lame. I hope you cringed a little bit when you heard it. These are the real consequences of language. Language changes. And I'm sure what Luke meant by lame was incapable of walking. But as we know, that word has come to mean unworthy and useless. It's like a lame idea or a lame excuse. And it carries a terrible burden. And the insidious thing about calling someone lame is that they begin to believe you, that they're unworthy, that they are indeed useless, and maybe worthy only of pity. So, with that said, we get to this second story in the book of Acts. Two guys walk into a church. Well, actually, it was the temple. The earliest church was still worshiping in synagogues with their brother and sister Jews. And Peter and John go at the about 3 in the afternoon for prayers, and they enter through the beautiful gate. There were a number of ways of entering that holy place of worship. But the beautiful gate wasn't beautiful for everybody, because the beautiful gate is where women had to stop and people with any physical impairment had to stop, because they were not worthy to go any further. So it may have been beautiful to Peter and John, but it was not beautiful to the fellow sitting there at that gate. Everybody knew him. Everyone had known him since the day he was born, and he had a physical impairment that made it impossible for him to walk. And so every day, some of his family would bring him to sit at the beautiful gate and to ask for alms as people entered to worship. He catches Peter's eye and makes his appeal for alms again. And Peter says, "Look at us. We have no gold or silver, but what we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And this man begins to feel a kind of tingling in his legs, and then in his ankles and in his feet. And Peter reaches out his hand and helps him to stand up. And much to his amazement, he is able not just to walk, but to run and leap and dance into that sacred place where some place in his heart he had always believed he belonged. I know this story. Because I'm gay, I was often told to stay at the back door and not come into a holy place like this one. That somehow I was unworthy to come into this place. Maybe you know this story too. You probably know this story maybe because of the color of your skin or your immigration status, or you're just simply a woman or a transgender person. Or maybe the culture has made you feel like you're too fat or too thin or too shy or too socially inept. Maybe you're unemployed or divorced. Maybe you carry some special, awful burden. Maybe you were abused as a child. Maybe you walk around carrying the burden of being descendants of people who were enslaved in this country. Maybe you're just poor. Maybe you're formerly incarcerated. Maybe you suffer from mental illness or an addiction to drugs or alcohol or pornography. There is no end to the burdens that we can carry around with us that make us feel lame. And the more we're told that we're lame, the more we absorb it and believe it. Internalized hate. And then one day, someone says to you and to me, "Look at us. Now walk." So here's the irony about this story. There wasn't just one man healed. Peter was also healed. It was only a few days ago that Peter was denying Jesus, denying even knowing Jesus, three times. Peter was always letting Jesus down. And here we are. Oh, well, that time he was trying to walk on water. And remember, he did just for a little bit, but then his faith ran out and Jesus had to reach out and help him stand up on the water. And now a few days later, after the resurrection appearances that we hear about this morning in the gospel, Peter is preaching God's radical, outrageous love. I mean, Peter was new to this. I have to believe that when he said to this man, this beggar at the gate, stand up and walk, I suspect he didn't know if it would work or not. Like, did he get the formula right? So he may have been just as surprised as the lame man that he could run and walk and leap and dance. But here's the thing about healing. Once you've been healed of this kind of self-loathing, this lameness, if you will, whatever it turns out to be, this burden that you are carrying, once you've been healed of that, you want to be a part of healing others. You want to be instrumental. You want to be cooperative with God in healing others. Because when you're healed like this, you realize that in God's eyes, no one is lame. No one is unworthy. And truth be told, this actually doesn't happen just once and for all. It kind of happens all the time because we lose sight. We no longer have hold of that love which set us free. And so a lot of us come to church to be reminded. We come here to be reassured that what at one point we believed really strongly turns out to be true, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. We meet at this table with others who are also trying to shed their unworthiness and to reclaim God's love and to relearn how to run and jump and dance. Whom do you know who needs that good news? Who were the people you passed at the doors of this church when you walked in that we're just not seeing? We're just not realizing that just outside these doors there are people hurting so badly and in such pain that they're afraid to come in here because they think you and I are going to judge them and make them feel even worse instead of setting them free. Or maybe it's you who needs to be reminded of God's unshakable and unending love for you. If that's the case, my message for you today will sound, well, familiar, because it was Peter's message to the beggar so long ago. Listen to us. Neither gold nor silver do I have, but what I have I offer you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and in his name, stand up and walk and run and leap and dance right up to this table and eat and drink and be nourished by God's outrageous and never-ending love for you. Amen.